The next item on our agenda is no action required information, AOC restructuring, efficiencies, and restructuring at the Center for Families, Children, and the Courts. We welcome back Diane Nunn, Judge Stephen Jarre also, Kurt Child, and also Ms. Charlene Deppner.
Thank you, Chief. This item is a report on the restructuring of CFCC, about which you've heard much already today, and is part of the ongoing effort in AOC to create greater efficiencies and transparencies in our agency's programs. It's been our approach in the agency to the Judicial Council directives, not to implement them in the isolation, but rather to implement them in the context of our significant budget cuts and, perhaps more importantly, as an opportunity to innovate and re-engineer our agency on our own motion, if you will. You have received over the last several months information concerning those efforts agency-wide and reports on other restructuring within the Judicial and Court Operations and Service Division. This report on CFCC restructuring is part of the overall plan within the Ops Division. To present, as the Chief noted on the report, are Kurt Child, the Division Chief, Diane Nunn, CFCC Director, and Charlene Deppner, the Assistant Director.
Thank you, Judge. Chief, members, if I might, I'd just like to take 1 minute, too, and although I realize he's left now, to thank Judge Nash. I met him a few years ago when we served together on the Blue Ribbon Commission on Children in Foster Care, and I can certainly say he is one of the great champions in the courts for children. I learned a lot from him. As Judge Jarre noted, throughout the AOC, we've now been going through a number of budget reductions, and which has forced a number of service cuts. We've had the opportunity to receive the SEC report and the directives that follow from that report, and that's provided a good opportunity now for us to take a look at the functions and the services of CFCC, of which we had the great opportunity to just see the kind of work that they help foster within the court. The real purpose and intent of this restructuring is to really ensure that there is clarity of the core services that are being provided within CFCC, and importantly that we've got the appropriate classification of staff doing the appropriate functions within the office. And before I turn to both Diane and Charlie to talk a little bit about more detail the organizational structure and the implementation of the directives, I just want to point out I think what are two important facets of this restructuring plan. First, there's a stronger management focus on ensuring that CFCC services are directly relevant and responsive to the needs of the courts and children and family who are court users. And the structure's built around a model in CFCC that provides staffing responsibility through the varied, and there are a number of committees that the office staffs and task forces, commissions, working groups. And now with the restructured agenda process being directed by E&P, CFCC staff, I think, has a clear direction running from the committees to the staff, I think, which is envisioned to properly implement the priorities of the council. The second part, and I think is one of the most important, is that this staffing model recognizes what is one of the real strengths of CFCC, and that's the ability to use multidisciplinary teams in how they approach all of the projects and the work that they do for the courts and children's children and family. You've just heard, I think, a good example from the presentations here today that families don't present a single issue or a single problem when they're in the court. Those problems, issues usually overlap. You see child support, domestic violence, mental health, drug, alcohol, issues that really envelope families. And there's great specialists within CFCC to provide services on that. And what they're able to do, and I think what this structure will allow them to better do, is to ensure that they can pull from all of those specialties and provide the services directly to the courts through the multidisciplinary approach. And they've long done this, but I think the effort in this restructuring was to bring a little more clarity, a little more transparency into those core services and then how they're delivered to the courts and to the families. Realizing we're quick or short on time, but before I turn it over to Diane and Charlie to summarize the organizational structure and a couple of the key directives, I just want to make sure and thank Justice Miller and Judge Ellsworth and Commissioner Alexander for taking all the time that they did over the last several months to help us sort through, I think, some of this reorganization. And they all brought, I think, good, practical approaches that helped with this structure and I think made it what it is. So with that, Charlie?
Thank you. I am going to say a few words about staffing changes in CFCC since June 2011, and Diane will talk about organizational and operational changes. On page 22, the attachment A gives metrics from the AOC Human Resources Services Office showing changes in staffing beginning in June 30th, 2011 through July 2013. We've highlighted the two key things we want to talk about today: the reduction in authorized positions from 94 to 72. And I should note that that was the status as of June 2013. Transfers that have since happened have brought down our authorized positions to 68. The second line adds to those authorized positions reductions in retired annuitants, temporary 909 positions, and temporary agency positions. Reduction from June 2011, 102, to July 2013, 32% reduction in workforce. And with the four transfers that have since occurred, since this chart was generated, that brings our reductions down to a 35% reduction in workforce. On page 24, we have a breakdown of the funding sources for CFCC's authorized positions. At the time we did this chart, there were 72 authorized positions. 14 of those were funded by CFCC general fund allocations, and the remainder were funded by longstanding allocations of state and federal funds and two funds dedicated to AOC services in family and mental health. Diane's going to talk more about our structure and operations.
If you turn to page 23 of the report, attachment B, you will note, as Kurt has just said, we have restructured within designated subject matter areas to better clarify and articulate the various roles and responsibilities for the staff, so that in our three groups, access to justice and self-help, family law and domestic violence, and tribal state programs is one grouping, child and family focused services is another, and the third is juvenile dependency and delinquency. In each of those groups, we have attorneys in units, we have researchers, court service analysts, and program specialists, and administrative support. So we think it makes it clearer both for those needing assistance from CFCC, more transparent, but it also helps our staff refocus and understand their roles and responsibilities. And that's especially important with the significant drop in the staff workforce. We have also, as we've reported previously to the council and very recently in some detail to the Executive and Planning Committee and the former SEC members. We have completed 11 of the 12 directives that related to CFCC. I just wanted to highlight a few of them. If you look, and they are highlighted in the report starting on page 11, we have eliminated the rules and forms unit, and instead we have decentralized rules and forms. And if you look at your binder, you see that we do, the attorneys in CFCC do generate a considerable number of reports and work on rules and forms, because this is an area of great interest by the legislature. And so, as Justice Hull knows, we're not doing any new or we're not sitting around thinking of up rules. It's drafting in response to new legislative mandates or new new laws. We've also revamped our judicial resource and technical assistance program. So with a focus, again, in response, in correct response to observations by the SEC about workload implications, and also in reducing, where appropriate, the use of attorneys to schedule appointments and other things, so that we rely on the attorneys to do the attorney work and other staff to do their appropriate work. We also have working with CURT and the Criminal Justice Office, we have transferred staff to the Criminal Justice Office so that they can focus on adult criminal specialty courts, and we will continue to focus on the family and children aspects of collaborative courts. And we're sharing staff also and projects, and we're doing that throughout our division as a result of CURT's leadership. We meet regularly with all of the office leads in our division to discuss how we can be more effective and more efficient at the same time, and that's true both in self-help and related services and in research.
Good. Thanks, Diane. So, Chief, just in conclusion, I really would like to thank Diane and Charlie for all the work that they've done along with their staff in CFCC. It's been an incredible amount of work, and what's been remarkable is they've been willing to rethink how they do business within their office, and importantly, how collaboratively they all worked and their staff in pulling it together. You've got a strong group in CFC doing the work and assisting the courts with children and families that are in the court system, and they really do a great job. And I guess you can see from the prior presentation that's why they do what they do. Thank you.
Thank you. Judge Ellsworth.
I just want to add that it was my distinct pleasure, along with Commissioner Alexander, to be the liaison, and as well as being a SEC member, that we first started meeting several months ago. And at our very first meeting, which was not a short meeting, we were found that this group was completely open, wide open. The books were open, their minds were open. They were willing to take dialogue and exchange ideas. We met and then brought in Justice Miller to also be so assistive. And I think that that's really the spirit of what the SEC is about, is combining it with bringing together the ideas and the recommendations of the SEC as you, the Chief, have asked us to go forward, and to go and meet in a very open dialogue. And we were able to really have not only a meaningful beginning, but we met again and again. And each time there was feedback and dialogue and ideas exchanged. And I think because of that, there's a real notion that we are actually heading down a road that's going to be even better than we were before. And at the beginning, I think all anyone would see is reduction, roadblocks, where are we going from here? And that's not what we found with this group. They said, okay, we know what needs to, we know the end result and our analysis. How do we get there? And we really have had some really great exchanges. And I have to just really commend them for their openness and not defensiveness. We really don't accomplish anything when we're defensive. And I think their openness and also even looking at the report, the recognition that the comp study will also further potentially impact, but their openness and acknowledgement of that really was overrides any challenges that I think we have to face. And I want to really commend Kurt and both of these fine examples seated to each side of him.
Thank you, Judge Ellsworth. Commissioner Alexander and then Justice Miller.
I'd like to piggyback on what Judge Ellsworth said. We did meet frequently, and one of the things I wanted to emphasize was that when I've done the liaison work with the courts, and just in my experience with working with CFCC before being on the council, most of the courts appreciate the work that the CFCC does with helping them with both their family and juvenile issues and coming to courts and helping them with a variety of things they do. They manage a lot of the funds that come through the court system. They do a lot of the allocations of things. They help them with statistics. And one of the things I noticed in the report is that one of the goals is to function to really support the courts in what they need. I know sometimes the courts have complained about the amount of surveys they need to do and other things in order to be able to get that service. But one of the things is to keep track of that, because with the limited resources, to see where, you know, the court's needs are and what can be done at the state level to assist the local courts, especially the smaller courts, and to focus on that and to be able to fill some of the gaps that are missing there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Commissioner Alexander.
And just on behalf of ENP, Diane, I wanted to thank you and your staff for all the efforts that you've made in this. It's truly, truly appreciated. So thank you. Thank you. And I hope that you will thank all of them for me and for ENP.
Thank you, Justice Miller. And that does our staff, our colleagues are hopefully listening, and I just want to give a shout-out to all of them. I am really privileged and honored to work with such a remarkable group of people. Thank you.
Judge Rubin, then Judge Stout.
I just want to echo the comments made by Judge Ellsworth and Commissioner Alexander and, of course, the chair of ENP, Doug Miller. Just that what an outstanding job all of you are doing under very, sometimes very trying circumstances, and yet the work doesn't seem to suffer. And I just want to extend my appreciation also for everything you've done. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Judge Stout.
Thank you, Chief. Diane, as you know, I was serving as co-chair of the Family and Juvenile Advisory Committee during this transition, and I want to echo the sentiments that have been made here by everyone in the council today. You've just done a remarkable job. I think Judge Nash said it best. It's a jewel. You are, and Ms. Deppner and your staff, you suffered along with all the trial courts, significant reduction in very, very gifted and talented staff. But the staff that you have, they are incredibly devoted. They're extremely gifted and talented. They do work that I don't think is fully appreciated by everyone. But I think along with CJR, you have a division that distinguishes the California courts throughout the country. And despite the reduction and the restructuring, they're continuing to excel and provide that high, extremely high quality of service that we've all come to rely on and respect. And thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Judge Stout. I also want to say maybe something that people around the council table and maybe listening don't really understand, too, and that is what a national leader CFCC is. I can't tell you how many requests I get as chief to allow someone from CFCC to go teach in another state, to share the experiences and the high-quality programs and the methodology to states across nationally. And it's impressive. It's astounding. We're proud. And it's why, as Judge Stout has indicated, California is such a leader in so many areas. I also give you my deep gratitude for your work for families and for the judges and for the public. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 4, as you know, on our agenda has been moved. Senator Evans wishes to present the recognition resolution to Beth J. Senator Evans wishes to be here personally to do that and cannot be here today. So, Beth, you'll have to come back another day. And we take that item off. So this concludes our agenda items for today. We are now in recess. We will reconvene tomorrow at 8:30 for the balance of our agenda. Thank you.